Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Excellent. Well, again, my name is Phat Vong, and I have a mic that doesn't like me. And I just want to welcome you to the Greater Baltimore Church here for our thank you service this morning. It's great to be here. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I wish I could name all of our guests, our friends and our family by name, but again, we just want to thank you for joining us for this service this morning. It's a great service, and I love it. I think it's amazing. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and technology may start working right after we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. We thank you so much for the chance to come together. God, we're so grateful, God, for the friendships, the relationships, the family, and the people that you put in our lives, God, that shape us, God, that serve us, that help us, and that help us to connect, God, to each other. We are so grateful, God, to have a special time to really just celebrate that today. We pray so much, God, for your spirit. We pray for your power, God, to speak through the scriptures, to speak through your word, God, and to speak through this message, God, to help us to carry away your voice, God, to carry away your instruction, Lord, so that it may lift us up, God, so that it'll help us, God, each day that follows today. Again, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for your generosity, God. Our friendships, all of our relationships, God, really come from you. And I pray, God, that today we're able to really, again, celebrate and express the appreciation and the joy that these relationships have brought into our lives. We love you. We thank you so much for this time, God. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It's a brief scripture, but it's powerful. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, and this passage is really short, but there's a strong correlation that it brings between joy and gratitude. You know, but I think in today's culture, joy is one of those things that's desperately wanted, right? Everyone really wants it. But I think sometimes it's scary to have, right? Because if you ever had a really exciting moment, I don't know about you, but sometimes we're always waiting for the other shoe to fall, right? And it's easy to be scared of the joy. And in a culture of scarcity where things are never enough, to fear joy even. Will it be enough? Will it actually make me happy? Will it last? And I think the probability of sorrow and sadness can easily make joy seem almost unreasonable. Or at least, let me just enjoy it a little bit, but let me not enjoy things too much, right? But however, the joy that God calls us to have is not just a bubbly attitude that everything's going to be fine, nor is it the delusion that nothing wrong is going to ever happen. The joy that we're able to have in Christ Jesus is the ability to say thank you in every situation. Our thanks is backed by the promises of Jesus. He will not disappoint. When we're weak, when we're missing things, when we don't have enough, we can rely on him through prayer to be able to see past the difficulties of the moment, right? And even if there's no hope in the moment, we don't have to allow circumstance or that moment to really define our character or our identity. Even if our heart and our flesh shall fail, like the scriptures say, Jesus can provide. We're able to rejoice. We're able to give thanks because our hope is not in this life. Christ has come to give us hope that surpasses what this world can offer and what promises this world can guarantee. And it allows us to face any opposition or any trial or any difficulty because we're not living for this life, but we're living for the life to come. You know, today, again, is a very special opportunity. And because of Jesus, we can have a great confidence and a great trust, a power that's far greater than our own. Oh, hey. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, it says, "The God who made the world, everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring." You know, again, today we wanted to express a special thanks to people God has put in our lives. According to this passage, God has orchestrated everything. The nations, the times, and the places. God's power and purpose has been working from the beginning of time. right? You are not an accident. Your involvement, your influence in the lives of the people here has great intention, right? God has planned this. Your presence is no mistake at all. And without you, we wouldn't have the faith that we have today. And so I just wanted to take a moment to recognize the friends, the guests that we've brought here, the family that we've brought here, and just say to acknowledge and just to say thank you for the ways that you've impacted our lives. Amen. If you are a guest or someone that we brought you out, just to say thank you, please stand. At this time, we just want to recognize you and honor you. You know, maybe you're here because you're part of someone's family. Maybe you're here because you've been a really great teacher. Or maybe you're just the kind of Uber driver that we're like, man, we're just grateful that you did a great job getting us home. Whether you're a smiling face, a pillar of support, or an inspiration to the people who have asked you to come here today, we just want to say thanks. You know, I have my aunts who are here, at a very fairly early age, you know, my mom and dad had a divorce, and it was a really difficult time for our family, a difficult time for us. And as our parents were trying to figure things out, my aunts were the stability that really showed me what, I mean, they through their relation, through their love, through their generosity, showed me both just the stability and strength that would normally come from a father, and also the consistency, the reliability that would come from a mother, and the love and the kindness as well. I know that we lived with them growing up. My three brothers and I and my dad lived with my aunts. And I know even my uncle who lived at the house would even opt to sleep in the floor so that I could have a bed to sleep on when I was growing up. And so the generosity they showed me has affected my faith so much, even far before I decided to even pursue a relationship with God. It's their generosity that's shown me the type of generosity. And when I saw that in Christ, I recognized it already because God had shown it to me through my family. I got my love of cooking from eating my aunt's cooking. I would hover and thanklessly critique and criticize things and pick up tips along the way and learn how to cook. And so if you've enjoyed a meal from me, it's because my aunts have shared their life and they've shared their recipes with me as well. You know, I appreciate my brothers who have supported us and supported me through everything. And there's so many things I could thank them for, but I'm just so grateful for you. We're grateful for Faye's family who couldn't be here. And we just want to express our thanks because Faye wouldn't be who she is without the generosity and the hard work of her parents, without the loyalty and the creativity of her sister, and the friends in her life that have really contributed so much. And when I see them all hang out together, I'm like, that's where she gets that from. And it's so exciting, and we're so grateful for these relationships. You know, gratitude is such an important part of this passage, right? And again, in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstance. You know, and so this sounds beautiful, it sounds poetic, but how do we go about doing this, right? I want to hit three different things today very quickly and to help both guide our thoughts in gratitude as we gear up for Thanksgiving, as we celebrate these relationships in our lives, and also as we prepare our hearts to take communion today. I want us to think about three different things. From this passage, the insights I want us to take is to celebrate, to pray, and to give thanks, right? Celebrate, pray, and give thanks. You know, because I think joy, again, is this elusive thing that can be challenging, can be tough, right? And the pursuit of happiness has been a title for movies. It's been literally a pursuit from the beginning of time where people are trying to figure out how to pursue happiness, how to have happiness. It's woven into our Declaration of Independence, right? But how do we find that happiness? And I want us today to connect this idea of how gratitude is so deeply entwined in us truly being able to find joy. And the first thing I want to talk about is to celebrate, right? As we try to pursue joy, celebration is so important. And what celebration in this passage it talks about, rejoice always, is this idea of celebrate, to look for the joy. That's what rejoicing is. In our lives, if we want to be connected to joy, we've got to be looking for it. Searching for what is good right now, what you have or what you can do, right? And here's the thing. No matter what's going on, we're able, and God's reminding us here that we can search for joy always. You know, and you would think, yeah, sure, you can say that, but I know there are people who are suffering, people who have lost loved ones, people who are suffering great disease, right? Going through tremendous amounts of depression. But the crazy thing is, if you were to talk to those people, the things that they do that keep them going is to look for the good. right? And so for us who are not going through challenging things, man, we've got to imitate that and look for the good. Don't squander joy. With something as precious as joy, sometimes we try to take control. We try to manage our own joy intake, if you will, right? Because I think, again, because joy is can be elusive, we don't know how long it'll last, or we're afraid that whatever joy we experience will leave us or elude us or disappoint us. I think we can try to moderate our level of joy. Let me not look for too many good things, right? Because again, the other shoe is going to fall. But here's the truth. You can't prepare for tragedy or loss, right? We try to moderate things. We try to control these things, but you cannot prepare for tragedy and loss in your life. No matter how difficult things are, when it hits, it's so hard. So we've got to allow ourselves to feel joy when we find it. And we've got to be a people who are looking for joy, looking for the good to celebrate. Experiencing joy allows us to build resilience. It allows us to cultivate hope, right? But the powerful thing through Christ is that we're able to look for a good from Jesus that this world cannot offer. It's not just, again, a simple answer that everything's going to be fine, or it's not this promise that life will be easy. But through Jesus, we're able to look for his plan and his promise. And when it's his plan and it's his promise, it's something that can provide and give us joy that we're looking for. Right? Resilience is the ability to quickly recover from difficulties or trials. But when we deny joy, when we deny the good things that God's doing for us, when we don't see them, when we don't look for them, the challenge is, when we deny that joy, we deny the hope that the challenge is worth facing. So we've got to look for the good. Right? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, about Jesus, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? Imitating him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus showed us how to rejoice. Even though he faced an incredible trial, even though he faced intense suffering, he showed us that he could scorn it. He could look away from it. He didn't have to be distracted by it because of the joy set before him. And what was that joy? The joy was rescuing us and redeeming us, forgiving us of our sins. Right? Again, even in an intense trial, Jesus was able to look for the good. And God wants to give us that. He has the promise that there is good if we search through him. So the first point is to celebrate. You know, the second thing we got to do, because celebrating can be difficult, finding joy can be difficult, and that's why here in Thessalonians, Paul calls us to pray continually, right? And when we have a hard time seeing the good, when we have a hard time, God has given us a great practice to allow us to see what is good. And he says, pray continually, right? Praying to deconstruct it is talking to God. And I think There's a mysticism to it, like a powerful, unseen power to prayer, right? That's incredible. But the simple aspect of it is, man, we get to talk to God. And I encourage you to talk to God when things are really good, right? And the reason why we talk to God is because it says in Psalm 139, verse 4, that before a word was on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. The powerful thing about talking to God, it's like talking to your wife or it's like talking to your best friend. They get you. You finish each other's sentences, right? You know, you get each other. And sometimes it's like, you know what I mean? It's all you're saying. It's back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And someone else from the outside listening is like, what are you talking about? That's what it's like talking with God, because he gets you. He knows you before the word has even left you. So you may even be thinking, well, then why should I pray? Shouldn't I just sit here and God knows everything? Yeah, but that's the same thing as saying, why should I call my friend? Doesn't he know that we're friends? Do I even need to call him and hang out with him? My wife knows that I love her. Do I even need to get her a birthday present? Or, man, that's not important, right? She knows I love her. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to connect, right? Both with friendships, both with romance. And that's why prayer is so important, right? It gives something to the person, but you get so much out of it as well. And the powerful thing is God always gets you. There's nothing you tell God, and he's like, whoa, man, that's so weird. Why would you say that? And God's like, he might not agree or approve of it, but he'd be like, I see where you're coming from. Right? And he gets you, and he knows you. So pray continually. Pray when you need strength. Pray when you need joy. Pray when you're joyful. Pray when you're strong. Pray through the good. Pray through the bad. Pray, but talk. Ask him questions. I mean, lay out crazy things. If you read through the Psalms, you'll see David say some things where you're like, wow, should that be in the Bible? I mean, how many times are you going to ask God to kick people's teeth out, right? But it's not in there because God's a teeth-kicking God, It's in there because, man, David can tell God anything, right? And God's trying to show us, man, you can tell me anything. I know you, and I care. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The joy that God offers is so different than this world because he can offer a promise that no one else can. I get you. I know you. I've seen you. It's like something like a father listening to his child. My daughter Viviana has turned 7 months recently, and she says pretty much just like what that baby just said. No, like, no words, nothing intelligible, but I love listening to her. I love hearing her voice. That's how God thinks about you. That's how God feels about prayer. That's why he says pray continually, because pray can get you in touch with the joy that you're looking for. We worship a God who cares. Let us be a people who pray. Right? And so celebrating, praying, and finally, the last practical in this passage is to give thanks. To give thanks in all circumstances. Right? This is actually the place where I want to park on and spend the most time on, because this is our thank you service. Right? But giving thanks is so important, and you can tell him thanks. That's what it means to give thanks. So for you to offer thanks to him and tell him that you appreciate it. Practicing gratitude. To express appreciation for what you have right now. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 talks about this a little bit. We can advance to the next slide. It says in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, this one starts, it says, I'll say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Right? And again, God's instruction, again, joy and gratitude connected in this passage. Right? God reminding us to rejoice, right? But how do we do it? Present your request to God. Tell him. Talk to him. Pray to him. But do it with thanksgiving, which is challenging. Right? And you're like, I thought you were giving me an easier way to get to joy. It sounds like you're giving me more hurdles. But here's the thing with gratitude. Again, gratitude is the key to getting to joy. Our gratitude, our ability to see the value in things helps us to really find the joy that God is providing. Right? Again, the promise of joy, the promise of a peace that transcends all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus comes from us learning how to say thanks in every situation. You know, I want to be super practical to start off with this idea here, but the idea is that we can, one of the things I used to do to help me with this, and I did this a lot in challenging times in life, but I learned how to do it in times where things were really good as well. On my birthday, in the new year, I did something terrible that ended up, I don't know, you know what I mean? When you have a situation where you just feel so embarrassed, you're just like, oh gosh, I'm not going to live this down. I do this exercise to help remind me that things are good, that God blesses. And I'd make a list of names of just the people I'm grateful for. And I encourage you to do this today, at some time soon, to make a list of the people you're grateful for. And not just a list of names, but write down what's great about them. What do you love about these people? I start here because sometimes in life, I cannot figure out why I like this person, how I'm going to get along with that other person, or why this thing's going to be great. But there's a list of people that without fail, I can write their name down and remember, oh man, this is why this person's amazing. And you got people like that in your life. And if you don't, this is why you're here. Because God wants to surround you with people that you can write their name down and say, you know what? I appreciate this person. The simple aspect that they brought me here today, or the simple aspect they've been a part of my life, and their character, there's something to be grateful for. But I would write down the list of these people's names. I write down what I appreciate about them, how they've helped me in my life. I promise you, when you do this, your hand will be tired and your soul will be refreshed. But we got to be people who do this. Remember constantly. And just like in the winter, when your car battery dies because you're in some ditch because you're out driving when you're not supposed to, right? You know who you are. And your battery dies because there's not enough juice. When your battery of joy dies, this is how you jumpstart things. You remember these names, right? These are the firefighters that jumpstart your car. This is the list of names. And you go and you remember these people. right? And they will jumpstart your faith. They will remember. You will literally feel better when you do this, right? But we've got to spend time looking for the good, right? And then not just looking for the good and expressing our appreciation. Tell them, man, this is why this is great. And when these memories and these experiences, you start realizing, man, God's hand has been in my life. One of the things I love about Faith is she says constantly, I'll tell her stories and she'll tell me, man, I can see God's fingerprints on everything. I'm like, oh man, it's like CSI spiritual. I'm like, wow, like a little purple light. And I see, oh, God's fingerprints. And she has this vision that always says, oh, that's God's fingerprints. I can see God's hand in that, right? And when we remember these things, we remember these people, it helps us to realize God's goodness. And so today, do that with the people that you brought. And if you didn't bring them, call them and tell them, hey, this is why I appreciate you. Man, and when we're able to be grateful, when we're able to give thanks, and the great thing is you can do this in all circumstances, it helps us to have the right perspective to face life. And sometimes I do the same thing with God. And I write down the things about God, and I write down what I love about God. And I write down why this has been so good to me. And I write down why I appreciate it, and I take these notes to God in prayer about my friends, about my family, and about God, and I tell God, thank you. And I tell God all these things in the same way. Yesterday, I surprised Faye for her birthday. She wasn't expecting it. And the poor nail tech who was doing her nails, she was just telling her like her whole, I mean, she was just spilling the beans, telling her everything about me. I don't know why. She's just excited about me, right? But that's what it is. When we love somebody, we spill the beans. Do this with God and tell God about the people you love. Tell God about the things you love about him. I promise as you do this, it will help you so much to get the right perspective. The challenge, the things you've literally been praying for, you'll see it differently when you give thanks, right? And if you don't know how to do this, if you're listening to this and you say, this is ridiculous, how dare you ask me to thank God for nothing? I tell you, there's reason. And if you can't find it, I encourage you to look into the scriptures. Because when we can hear God's voice, we can recognize his work in our life. And I think Faye's able to see God's fingerprints in her life because she can see God's fingerprints in the scriptures. And so I encourage you, if this message is making you even more hopeless, go to the Word of God. You're here so that God can get you in touch with the good that he has been not even hiding, putting in plain sight in your life. And you're here to see that through the struggle, through the difficulty. But we have so much reason to be grateful for it, and we're excited to help you search for it. God desires us to be grateful, right? You look at this passage, it ends with this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will, right? For you to find joy, for you to pray, for you to give thanks. Gratitude is God's will, which means it is part of his plan and his purpose for us. He has designed us and knows exactly what we need, and he tells you you need to be grateful. Gratitude is essential to bring about powerful and important change. God knows this. You know, as I was looking up gratitude and trying to understand how other people feel about gratitude, I Googled some random things, and I found this comment that just kind of, I don't know, I was like, and so I decided to bring it up. I read this comment, and it says, it sounds like a waste of time to me thinking about being grateful while I could actually spend my life improving it. I'll read that again. It sounds like a waste of time to be thinking about being grateful while I could actually spend my life improving it. And I read that and I was like, oh man, that makes a lot of sense, right? And the functional side of me, I'm a very functional person. I try to fix things. I try to do stuff all the time. If it makes sense, I do. If it doesn't make sense, I'm like, why are we doing this, right? And so the functional side of me is like, you know, I could be making things better. Why write that list? Why tire out my wrist? Why pray to God about all these things? Let's just do things and make things better. Right? And I thought about it and I was like, you know, it made me think that, oh man, gratitude is so like, it's so heartsy and it's like, it just sounds like I'm settling, right? Why do things better? Just be grateful for what you have. That's what this comment made me think. And I was thinking, man, is that what gratitude is? But gratitude, I tell you, is not about settling for the good, for what you got. It's not about settling for just the things that you can see. Gratitude helps you to understand the value of what you have in order to inspire you to grow. So your gratitude isn't merely meant to just be like, oh, I'm grateful. I'm good spirited. I feel warm and fuzzy. It's actually meant to propel you forward, to give you the right perspective so you know how to plot your path and how to continue on and how to climb higher. Because Gratitude, I would argue, and psychologists and science and doctors and medicine will tell you that gratitude is absolutely necessary for relationship. It's absolutely necessary for health. Without gratitude, you cannot grow significantly. Without gratitude, your growth, right? This idea of improving constantly is not so much a healthy growth. It's more like a cancer, right? Improvement without the stability of gratitude exists in a state of scarcity, where nothing is enough. The type of improvement that leads to an endless and insatiable pursuit of perfection rather than personal excellence. And there's a difference. Perfection is a hustle. Perfection is about showing other people what looks as close to perfect as possible. But some people can be fooled into perfection. Personal excellence is different. Personal excellence is about you just being the best version of yourself. Right? And perfection, this self-improvement without gratitude, it just becomes perfectionism. And the result of perfectionism is fear, because you're always wondering who can see through it. The result of perfectionism is cynicism. And there's always a thought of like, well, there's always something better out there. And perfectionism is selfishness, because it's about self. And it can create arrogance, and it's destructive, just to name a few things. Without gratitude, perfectionism, again, destroys. And it doesn't lead to personal excellence. But with gratitude, that this the pursuit of excellence becomes something different. Gratitude is essential to bring about powerful, important change in your life. Right? It's not just some November celebration that we decided to stick in there 100 years ago. Gratitude is essential, and it's laced throughout the scriptures of giving thanks. This is God's will for you. Right? I wanted to share a quote. It's not joy that makes us grateful. It's gratitude that makes us joyful. And so many of us search for joy in order to be grateful. But I challenge you that you, if you search for gratitude, it will lead you to the joy that you're looking for, right? And this is said by David Steindl-Rast, who is actually a living 90-plus-year-old Benedictine monk, right? But being grateful allows you not to be fearful. And this is some thoughts that he shares in his TED Talk, and you can look him up. Being grateful allows you to not be fearful. And when you're not fearful, you're not violent. It changes your society. It will change your neighborhood. If you can be grateful, and you can help others to do the same. Being grateful allows you to feel like you have enough, so you no longer live in scarcity and you're able to be generous. Being grateful allows you to enjoy the differences between people so that you're respectful. It transforms relationships from competitive to collaborative. You know, today I ask our members here who are listening to this message to be people who pursue gratitude. And I think the pursuit of gratitude is difficult without Christ, because it is his lens, it is his perspective, it is his help that when we beg for him and we ask for it in prayer, when we talk to him about these things, that he shows us what we're grateful for, what is good in our life. And he unveils these things when we ask of him. Too often we ask for things. Too often we wait for situations before we say thanks, but I ask you to say thanks now and to not wait for it. My challenge here is to leave today and to be able to articulate to the people you brought or the people who are important to you why they're important to you. Because this is the tool for you to reach your joy that God has put in your life. God knows that you need this, and your gratitude is essential to bring change into your life. You know, Jesus died to free you from the clutches of hopelessness and the limits of what this world has to offer. Gratitude, though necessary, is no easy task. And only the power of God can help us hold fast to see beyond our capability of seeing. Right? Because there are times where you cannot see past the difficulty on your own. And that's why Jesus came to die, so that we wouldn't have to be on our own. When conflict or circumstance is more than we can see over. There's a lot of things I can't see over in this life, so I know what this is like. But maybe some of you guys are taller in faith, or taller in character, maybe taller in stature, and you see over a lot of things. But when you're a short person, you'd learn how to depend on others. But I ask us to lower ourselves a little bit so we can learn how to depend on God. To strive, to pray, and give thanks. We'll find joy that it's needed for us to grow more effective in this life and closer to Jesus. And so let's spend some time as we take the bread that represents Jesus' body to really think about what God has done and how he sacrificed to give us this message of thanks, that we now have so much reason to be grateful. And as we take the juice that represents his blood, let's really reflect about how he poured out his life so we could hear these words and that we could follow them, not for his good, but for our good. And I pray that after this time, we'll have a great time of reflection, remembering Jesus. And again, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know, have him in your life, I encourage you to hear his word. And he will guide you through the most difficult times in your life. He will show you the friendships that will mean the most and bring about the most significant changes in you. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we take the bread, again, that represents his body and the juice that represents his blood. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for you, God. We are so thankful, God, for this tool that you give us, God, that, again, you tell us, God, to search over what we already know to search for, God. You tell us to search for joy, to search for happiness, God. But God, you equip us, God, with so much reason, God. You equip us with this pursuit to look for gratitude, to give thanks, God. And you give us prayer, God, to connect to you when we're unable to do that, Father. And I thank you so much, God. I thank you so much, God, that you were willing to die, God, to help us hear this message. You're willing to give up your life, God, Lord, so that we could see the good, that so we could trust the message of good, Father. I pray so much, God, that we remember you, God, that we take this time to reflect. We take this time, God, to be thankful, God, for what you've given us. That we can remember the sins that we've been entangled in, God, and how much they destroyed and hurt our lives, God, and how much you freed us, Father, and how much the people you put in our life have helped us, God, to overcome these obstacles. Thank you so much, God, for your love. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your kindness, God. I pray, Lord, that we're a people that in every situation, whether in accident, in tragedy, in suffering, God, that we can see not that there's good in those terrible things, God, but there's a moment, God, where we can grow closer to you, a moment where we can search for the good. We love you, God. We thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.